first of all, let me just ask you for sort of a general statement. Why did you and the governor decide that now is the time to issue these kinds of protocols?
Well, we have been working in the preparedness of our state in case that we have cases of Ebola. We have been providing clinical guidelines for hospitals, for EMTs, doing trainings of law enforcement. And as we move through the different steps of our planning, certainly having protocols in place for people who may have been exposed to is an important component. So we got to it. We started talking about this last week and have this coming out today.
Okay, and let me just check as I go on with the interview. Do you have 7 minutes to spare for this interview?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Seven?
Yeah, five, seven. I don't know, somewhere in there. I just don't want to get caught.
Yeah, sure.
So, and information about people traveling to New Hampshire from the federal government, what are the mechanics of that? How is that information? Is that coming from customs, or how does that work? How is it set up? How does it go? Are you already getting that information?
We will. New Hampshire Department of Health, through the Division of Public Health Services, will be the organization receiving information from the federal government. They have been putting in place a system in which they are funneling all of the patients coming from the three countries that are currently experiencing the outbreak in West Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. They come through five airports. So all of their names are captured there, and they are screened. And based on their on that screening, we will get information about them, where they are going, when they are supposed to arrive. Most of the people coming from those three countries go to a different state. They don't come here. We expect to get a few every week. And that information will come to us from CDC. If they get it directly or they work it out with immigration, what's the name, ICE? I forgot what the ICE mean.
You just drove it out of my head, too.
Yeah, immigration and customs enforcement, or with working with TSA and Homeland Security, I don't need to know that. I just need to get the information here. And we have a system in place. We have web-based information system where we get information about patients with infectious diseases. We have used these systems before. You need to realize that this is not new. When we have patients with tuberculosis and airplanes, we get the information through a system called EPX. We get from the flight manifest the list of patients who are New Hampshire residents or have a final destination for business purposes in New Hampshire, and we follow and investigate them. That's exactly what we are planning to do in the Ebola suspect cases.
And is that information flowing now? You mentioned that there's this arrangement with the CDC. Have you been getting information about that?
Not yet.
Not yet. So
not yet.
Did the CDC just contact you recently to say, okay, we're going to go online?
CDC contacted us last week, and they said that the system nationally will start on Monday. That means yesterday. We have not received any specific patient information for New Hampshire, which may mean that we don't have any travelers coming to New Hampshire.
Right, got it. Do you know, are they reaching back as well to see if there may have been such travelers, or is this purely going forward from Monday?
It's just moving forward from Monday. I don't have any information suggesting that it will be retroactive.
Right.
No.
We'd only have to be retroactive 21 days, I suppose, to really capture any kind of slice that we might be missing.
Correct. But for those who are already here that we didn't get that information, that's why we are doing the screening at the hospital healthcare level. Not just hospitals, any healthcare facility are asking the same questions to anybody who calls to ask for appointments or goes to the emergency room. The first question is, do you have a history of travel to any of these three countries? If there isn't, then that's it. If there is, then the next question has to do with symptoms and fever. And if they identify anybody like that, our protocol tells them to call us, and we will work with each facility to do the assessment of the risk for that particular situation.
Have they been getting training from you and the CDC in the past few weeks?
Yes, we have done We have been in touch with the CDC, received their protocols, and we have done trainings for healthcare providers in New Hampshire. We have created what we call Health Alert Network messages that go out to them. We have ongoing clinical discussions. We had kind of a chat place with them for the last 2 weeks, and we have done four webinars where we walk them through symptoms, screening, management, and all of the issues around this particular Ebola situation.
Okay. Just a couple more questions. I want to read you a statement from the press release and then ask you a question about it. It's the beginning of the second paragraph, which says, any returning traveler from an Ebola-affected country, I presume that means just the three, who had contact with Ebola patients will be monitored for illness for 21 days following their return while staying in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean they're required to stay in their home?
Especially for healthcare workers, that is the way that we are looking at it. We have the legal capacity. I saw your email, so you're asking if it's voluntary or enforcement. We're going to ask them to do that. When you look at the new guidelines from CDC, they strongly recommend that healthcare workers stay home. We are going to ask them to stay home. Well, if they say no, then we will issue an order.
Okay, so it's a state required, and what's the statutory framework for that?
141C is the law in New Hampshire that allows the state public health authorities to order isolation or quarantine based on risk. The law specifically asks us to do it in the less restrictive location. And that's what we're saying, that we're going to be asking people to stay home. I am not looking forward to have them restrict their movements by placing them in any special facility. We are expecting that they don't develop disease, so we don't need them under medical care.
Understood. I think everybody would hope that. I'm sure most people would do what many would consider their civic duty to protect themselves and others. One question is, how do you determine whether someone has had contact with a victim of Ebola? Does the CDC and Customs and ICE do that, or do you, when you contact them, ask for a self-report on that? How is that determination made, whether there's someone who was just in the country but didn't have contact with a patient, or someone who did have contact?
It's going to be based on self-reporting. There is no way for anybody to certify that. So we're going to be interviewing the people returning and establishing a relationship of trust with them. We're going to provide the support, the clinical support that they need for the management of all of this, and we expect from them truth.
Okay, but so bottom line is the state is asserting its ability to order a 21-day home or least restrictive possible quarantine.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That clarifies what really wasn't quite clear in the press release. Other than that, I think we've covered the ground pretty well for what is admittedly a quick interview, and I understand you're going to be on our air on the exchange next week, which will be very helpful, I'm sure, for the general public. But is there, as this sort of new position of vigilance, let's say, and surveillance is adopted, what's the message to the general public?
The message to the general public is that this is a changing situation that we are carefully and closely monitoring. Our recommendations and our approaches will change, because they will change based on the best available evidence and forecasting of the situation that we can provide based on how this thing changes. It may be that next week we need to be more aggressive or less aggressive in the way that we manage any possible contact. The reality is, and based on what we know in the science of Ebola, that the risk of transmission of Ebola is only present when you are with a patient that is severely ill and has no control of their secretions. So if they are vomiting, bleeding, or with diarrhea, that is where infection happens. Infection doesn't happen by being around somebody who came from that country. It doesn't happen from anybody who has no symptoms. But knowing that, we are still being quite careful in monitoring and managing the situation so we prevent any spread in this country and specifically in New Hampshire.
Okay, very good. I really appreciate it. It's an extremely clarifying conversation. Final question. Montero, M for Mary, O, N for Nancy, T for Tom, E-R-O?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And Jose, common spelling?
J-O-S-E.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for your help. Look forward to talking to you again.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.